John, you remember we had a conversation about if there was a competition between cities on who had the most corrupt politics, that it would be a serious showdown
Illinois,
Chicago and New York.
Chicago,
I think
York,
Chicago's going to really take the lead, and then I predict that in the weeks ahead. Consider
Illinois
this
has
moment.
A history, that's for sure.
Consider this for just a moment. Illinois' former governor George Ryan is still sitting in prison as we speak for corruption charges, and now the state's now former governor could possibly join him. Today is day one of the corruption trial for the man with the hair, Rod Blagojevich. He faces a handful of charges, including, but not limited to, trying to sell President Obama's vacant Senate seat. Add to that, there's a whole cast of characters here. Three very sharp prosecutors. They already put one of Blago's associates in prison for fraud and bribery. And we've got a judge presiding who once appeared in a David Mamet film, spouting as many expletives as Blagojevich did on his taped phone calls. If this were on Law and Order, I think people would consider it far-fetched. But if Blagojevich is convicted,
it has to be HBO with all those expletives.
No
probably.
Kidding.
Yeah.
If Blagojevich is convicted, he could be the fourth Illinois governor sent to federal prison in the past four decades. Joining us now, Chicago Public Radio's criminal justice reporter Rob Wildebohr and Politico.com reporter Jonathan Allen. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning.
Rob, at the same time that people are probably looking forward to watching this trial, because it must be fascinating, they've got to also be cringing to a certain extent, right? I mean, this is going to splatter the worst of Illinois' politics across the front pages for months. I mean, he shook down a children's hospital.
It's amazing how far we've come in the last year and a half. A year and a half ago, people didn't even know how to pronounce Blagojevich's name. Illinois doesn't have a lot to be proud of here, and we're going to be seeing a lot of it. But it could work well for Republicans who are looking to take back the state house here and the governor's office here if they can smear the current politicians with the stain of Blagojevich.
Well, right, but that's a real question here, because there's no sense right now that people are separating this according to party, that people are associating this dirty politics with this, the Democrats. I mean, remember, George Ryan is in prison right now, and he's a Republican.
And that's how Rod Blagojevich got elected into office. If you go back and look at Rod Blagojevich's campaign videos from when he was running in 2002 and 2006, it's comical that he's claiming he's going to come in and clean it up and be a reformer. That's why he was elected.
Okay, well, Jonathan, there already are going to be some big political players involved in this case. They've already subpoenaed Jesse Jackson Jr., Harry Reid, Rahm Emanuel, Valerie Jarrett. The big question, though, is will they subpoena Barack Obama to testify?
Well, there was an attempt to subpoena the president, and the judge actually quashed that, said that the defense lawyers could not issue their subpoena to the sitting president of the United States for a variety of reasons. Although the court filings in that were interesting because they were originally redacted, blacked out parts of them, and news organizations were able to sort of unredact them using pretty low-level technology to do it. And so there's a lot more information out there as a result just of the subpoena attempt about what happened and what some of the testimony that various players gave the FBI agents were.
But could this be possibly embarrassing when they call Rahm Emanuel and Valerie Jarrett to testify? Could this be embarrassing for the Obama administration?
Well, right now, the sort of big charge Washington is watching, and there are, of course, a lot of local charges about kickback schemes and shakedown attempts and things like that. The big one, of course, is the selling of the U.S. Senate seat, or the attempted selling of the U.S. Senate seat, or the charges that he tried to sell the U.S. Senate seat. And as far as Valerie Jarrett and Rahm Emanuel go, they may be able to shed some light on what information the White House had, or I should say the transition team at the time, because this was late 2008, what they had about what Blagojevich wanted and whether they were willing to part with anything that they controlled in exchange for that. There's no suggestion of that at this point, but right now the White House is dealing with a couple of situations where there are They've dangled jobs in front of potential candidates in order to see if they can get them to get out of races. I'd be surprised if defense lawyers didn't bring that up in the Blagojevich trial, as prosecutors are trying to show that what he was doing or attempting to do was illegal in trading his Senate seat for a job, or not his Senate seat, but the one he had the power to appoint.
Right. Rob Wildebohr of Chicago Public Radio. Tell me a little bit about this judge. First, I want to play you this clip from the 1991 David Mamet film Homicide. This is actually the judge who's presiding over this.
You're trying to do your job. Let's be frank, shall we?
Sir.
Can we do that?
You want to be frank?
Yes, I do.
I don't get the whole thing.
It amounts to this. My mother was killed. You're assigned to the case. I call downtown.
That's the judge, James Zagel, as an actor. What else do we know about this judge who will be presiding over the trial of Rod Blagojevich?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, if you let that clip run a little longer, we find out the judge has a bit of a potty mouth.
He's not the only one.
He has also written a crime novel in which a federal judge steals $100 million from the Federal Reserve Bank, which is just a couple blocks from Judge Zagel's courtroom in downtown Chicago. But he's a kind of unflappable guy and has been rather underwhelmed by the whole proceeding and the whole to-do and the whole circus atmosphere that has surrounded this trial and will surround this trial. And he's also known as very decisive, which is probably going to be important to keep things on track, as this is already a really complicated and going to be a lengthy trial no matter what. So, the shorter this trial is kept, the better it is for prosecutors anyway. I think the defense usually wins when there's more stuff and more complication and more confusion, because that can more easily lead to reasonable doubt.
Okay, well, Rob, it really hasn't been all that long since the state's former Governor George Ryan was his trial was going on in 2006, but people are predicting that this will be even more of a circus than that was. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think because George Ryan was kind of a buttoned-down guy, and Blagojevich has been unpredictable the whole time. Not many defendants go on a whirlwind year-long media tour, and then Blagojevich's attorneys are also sort of unpredictable guys. So there's a number of factors here that could keep this interesting.
Rob Wildebohr, criminal justice reporter for Chicago Public Radio. Jonathan Allen of Politico.com. Quickly, what question do you hope gets answered during these proceedings?
What exactly the conversations were between the president, a labor official, Valerie Jarrett, the labor official, Rod Blagojevich, the labor official, and back to Valerie Jarrett?
You want access to those FBI tapes. That is Jonathan Allen of Politico.com, a reporter there. Thanks to both of you.
I had a whole bunch of thoughts. Of course, my children and my wife. And then I thought about Mandela, Dr. King, Gandhi, and try to put some perspective in all of this.